Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's question comes from Ellen, who wrote, "Help! I am addicted to these online personality tests. I feel like I have to know which of the houses of Hogwarts I would be sorted into, or which Lord of the Rings character would be my soulmate. I don't know why, but if one of those tests pop up on my Facebook page, I cannot resist it. Is it part of my personality to do these personality tests, or am I just a sucker for these types of things?" Well, Ellen, that's a great question. And of course, we've seen a lot of these types of personality tests and different types of tests like this come up on Facebook and different forms of social media. And there seem to be ever increasing. Every time a movie comes out, there's new ones about Marvel, there's new ones about Lord of the Rings and Hogwarts or Harry Potter and all those different popular culture types of programming. So let's talk a little bit about it. First of all, we refer to those as personality tests, but using the word test is a little bit liberal. Those types of tests, well, when we think about personality tests, one of the things we have to think about is validity. How accurate are the results? And certainly, these types of tests have little, if any, validity to them at all. Really, they are just looking at particular characteristics. They'll ask you questions. And if you go through a lot of them, I'm sure that you've noticed that many of them ask very similar types of questions. But what they do is they ask you those questions and sort you based upon those characteristics. And so, you know, if you are the type of person who answers questions to suggest that you are extroverted and that you enjoy leadership roles, then you are probably going to be sorted into Gryffindor. If you are maybe a little bit more introverted and somewhat of an intellectual, then you're probably going to be sorted into Ravenclaw. So there really is no real science behind it. That validity just isn't present for those types of tests. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not attractive and they're not out there for lots of people to use, because they are very eye-catching. And of course, certainly when it involves some of the characters and some of the movies and programs that we enjoy, we certainly want to be associated with that. And that really gets to the key behind these types of tests and these types of quizzes and questionnaires and things like that. And that is the need for organization, the need for what I would call tribalism. As a human species, we have always been a very social beings. We have never been the fastest. Our species has never been the strongest. Our species has never been the biggest. And so we have survived based upon our ability to work together. Now, this isn't certainly unique to humans. Wolves, elephants, other animals in the animal kingdom do the same thing. They work in families, in groups, in packs, and that is how they survive. We know from our biologists and other naturalists that when a wolf is banned from his pack, likelihood of survival is very small, similar to other animals who are more family-oriented, pack-oriented. When one of their members is separated or kicked out of the group, for lack of a better word, then the likelihood of that animal surviving is very small. Humans are the same way. We are very cultural-based, social-based beings. And because of that, we look at people who choose to live isolated lives, hermits and things like that, people who want to live away from society. We look at those people as being atypical or odd or strange in some ways. It's also not surprising that in our history, we once used banishment as a form of severe punishment. So if somebody did something to violate one of the group norms, then that person was kicked out of the group. They were forced out of the town, or they were made to live separate from everybody else. And again, the idea is that without a group, a family, a support social system to be connected to, that person is not going to do as well. So we see this in a lot of different areas. Certainly the test that you're talking about, Ellen, is one way we see that, because we want to find a way to connect. We want to say we are, you know, Gryffindor, we are not Slytherin, or, you know, we are associated with this group as opposed to that group. And we see this, of course, a lot in athletics. We see it a lot in sports, where people are dedicated for whatever reason to a particular group or a particular team. And that connection is somewhat difficult to explain. We've met, I'm sure that you've met, and I certainly know people who are dedicated to a team, perhaps even a college football team, for a college that they've never attended, sometimes even a college that they've never even been to. They've never even been to the campus or anything. They really don't know anything about the programs or the school itself, but they are very dedicated and committed to that team. In my life, for example, I associate, I'm a big, for those of you who listen, of course, you know that I'm a big soccer fan, and my team is, the team that I really find a connection to is the Chelsea Football Club. And there's a, for those of you watching on the video, you can see there's a ball, a Chelsea soccer ball right behind me. And I associate with that team. I feel connected to that team. And so because that team is blue, for example, I wear a lot of blue, a lot of blue shirts, a lot of, I have a lot of blue things. My mouse pad is blue, my, you know, towels are blue and things like that. It's silly, but you know, it's the way that I associate with my team, which isn't uncommon, I don't think, from other people. My son, on the other hand, he is a Manchester United, I don't know why, but he is a Manchester United fan. And for that reason, he has a lot of green. He has a lot of red, and he is really connected to that team. And so while I rarely, if ever, wear or have anything that's red because of my blue team, he rarely, if ever, wears anything or has anything that's blue because he is a red team. Again, it is silly on the surface, but it is the way that we feel a connection to our team, especially our teams that are so far away. They're based in England, so we don't get to see them very regularly, and we don't get to watch them play except for on TV and that kind of thing. So the connecting ourselves with the colors associated with our team is very important to us. Now we come together with our more domestic team, the Orlando City Soccer Club, who's purple. This is sort of the perfect marriage of red and blue. And so we both have shirts and things that are purple to associate with the Orlando City team. So we see this in a lot of different areas. We see people who have tattoos of their team. And neither my son or I have gone that far to go with tattoos, but we certainly know people who have gone that to that length to associate themselves with a particular team or a particular group. And it's really that tribalism type of mentality that this is mine. It's not that. Now, we are interesting here in the United States because we try to strike this balance between being part of a group while also being an individual. So for example, we will have people who are dedicated hardcore fans of a particular team, but then when they go to a game, you know, they have to set themselves apart even further by, you know, painting their faces with the team colors or wearing costumes and those kinds of things. So even though they want to be part of a group, they still are seeking their individualism and their individual identity. So it really gets complicated very quickly. So we have to be, you know, a little bit careful, and perhaps it warrants a little bit more in-depth of a conversation about how personality works and who we are and those kinds of things. Certainly those tests that you're talking about, Ellen, I don't know if I would go so far as to say that they're personality tests in so much as they measure, you know, the type of person that you are. It looks at particular characteristics and it sort of sorts you into a group that maybe is identified with similar characteristics based upon the way that they're depicted in movies or books or anything like that. But certainly it's not a personality test from the vantage point of, you know, what would you then do with that information? You know, one of the reasons we do personality tests is to understand a little bit better about how a person processes information, how they perceive the world, how they interact with the world around them. And depending on your personality, that's going to vary. these tests certainly, I would say, fall short of those types of impressions and, you know, decision-making abilities. So, but to answer your question, is this part of your personality? Yes, it's part of all of our personality, really. Some of us are much more prone to those types of tests than others. And some of us are much more likely to, you know, do the quizzes about, you know, what is your 90s trivia and what is your, you know, sitcom trivia skills. And so we're drawn to different things because we see that as a way to identify ourselves, or that we see that as a way to connect ourselves with other people who may be similar to us, and to differentiate ourselves from people who are different than us. It's, again, a very normal human attribute. The thing that you want to be careful of course, is that you don't want to spend so much time involved in that. Meaning, you know, we have to be careful as those windows pop up and as those things show up on our newsfeed, on Facebook and other forms of social media, that we're not clicking on every one of them, because very, very quickly it can consume a great deal of time. And that certainly is when it will create a problem for you or for anyone else. You know, if you're at work and you're doing three or four different personality tests, each of which takes, even if it just takes 5 or 10 minutes, you know, you're talking about half an hour that's wasted or gone just by doing those tests. So you certainly want to monitor that amount of time that you spend. But do I think that there is a problem with doing this? Of course not. You know, certainly don't try to make decisions based upon it. You know, I certainly don't want you to wait for, you know, if you take a test and you find out that Legolas is your soulmate, you know, certainly don't waste your time waiting to find Legolas because you're, you know, he's not a real person. So I don't know that if that upset anybody that Legolas isn't a real person, but he's just a character. So, you know, monitor your time doing that. Monitor your time involved in those types of activities, and don't put too much emphasis in it. You know, enjoy it. It's really just entertainment. And perhaps, again, Dr. Richard and I will spend a little bit more time in another podcast talking about personality tests in a little bit more detail. So, all right. Check out the our Facebook page and our website, thementalbreakdown.com, to follow us, follow our blogs, and to follow all of the different things that we're posting. We're busy at work here at Paydia trying to get information for The Mental Breakdown, as well as our Paydia podcast and information out to as many people as we can. Please subscribe to our YouTube page. This is the second official YouTube video that will be posted. And I've posted some other YouTube videos recently, but they're of previous podcasts that were sort of formatted a little bit differently. So, but check that out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's a lot more information to come. It's going to be great. So, and get our books. Check out Amazon and look for the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1. It's available on Kindle for $2.99. Not bad. Lots of information in that book. Plus, there's an availability of some extra resources and supplemental materials that you'll get access to online. That's really going to help you managing and raising your child from birth through adolescence. So everything's there. You'll also get updates about upcoming part 2 and then part 3 of the book as well. Also check out the Elimination Diet Manual available on Kindle. It's a great way to look at your diet and see if there's anything that you're consuming on a regular basis that may be affecting your physical health as well as your mental health. So, all right. Well, until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie. Have a great week and forget to be afraid.